Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on a Wednesday, March the 10th. 2021, 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour, and it's going to be a very interesting morning here on WWGH Radio. Now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, about the incident that went on Cummins Avenue on Monday evening, in which yesterday at the time, what we knew when I was on the air yesterday morning was that an 80-year-old woman had been killed. At that time, we did not know her identity, and we knew that a dog had been killed, and we didn't, that's terribly unfortunate. And then we knew that the woman's husband had stabbed himself, and at that time, the news release said that they believed that the wounds were self-inflicted. Now, that's the story we had yesterday. Now, yesterday evening, I believe it was sometime around 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm not exactly sure of the time, a news release came out, and I'm going to read the news release just as it is here, because it's a horrible case. We now know the identities, and the story itself is just horrible, and it's on the website. It's been on the website since, or the Facebook page, since yesterday. Here's the story as we have it. On March the 8th, 2021, at 5:36 p.m., Marion police officers responded to a home in the 250 block of Cummins Avenue to check the well-being of the male resident at that location. Officers were unable to summon a resident to the door, which resulted in the officers forcing entry into the home to verify the safety of those inside. Once inside the home, officers encountered 78-year-old Ronald E. Gibson sitting at the dining room table facing away from them. Gibson proceeded to stab himself in the presence of the officers. Upon checking the rest of the home, officers located 80-year-old Shirley Gibson, Ronald's wife, deceased of an apparent gunshot wound. The family dog was also found deceased from a gunshot wound. Ronald Gibson was transported to Marion General Ohio Health and later flown by a medical helicopter to a Columbus area trauma center with what is believed to be non-life-threatening injuries. Gibson is under the guard of Marion Police at the medical facility, and a warrant has been issued for his arrest on a charge of aggravated murder. Our officers routinely respond to welfare checks, and this is a tragic reminder that no response is ever routine, and the emotional impact on our officers, this family, and the community as a whole is immeasurable, said Marion Police Chief Jay McDonald. Our investigators worked this scene late into the evening, and they will continue to pursue leads and talk to witnesses to ensure that we collect all the necessary facts required in an investigation of this nature. This investigation is considered active and ongoing. The Marion Police Department was assisted by the Marion County Sheriff's Office, Marion County Prosecutor's Office, and the Marion County Coroner's Office in the course of this investigation. Additional details will be released when available. Anyone who believes that they have information pertinent to this investigation is asked to contact the Marion Police Department Criminal Investigations Division at 740-387-2222. That's 740-387-2222. So that's the story. We now know the identity, 78-year-old Ronald Gibson, who at this point is still alive. His wife, Shirley Gibson, dead of an apparent gunshot wound, and the family dog was dead from a gunshot wound. But the, you know, it's interesting to say, but this story brings up a whole conversation in society. Number one, this story is not a normal story. Number one, we don't know what happened, and I think questions will be answered as time goes on, but it doesn't look like there was an intruder, although maybe there was. Who knows? We don't know at this point. So that's what makes it unique. And it's been a long time, and I certainly have never heard of somebody stabbing themselves in front of the police officers when they came in, and that's what this press release says Robert Gibson did. Or Ronald Gibson, excuse me. Ronald Gibson did. At 78 years old. And, you know, it's just a tragic story. A very, very, very tragic story. Now, very kindly and very nicely, Marion Police Chief Jay McDonald has agreed to come on with us this morning from 9:10 till 10 a.m. So we will be talking to the chief. We'll get the latest updates as to what's going on with this, what happened, and we'll find out between 9:10 and 10 a.m. this morning. But it's very sad. It's just very sad. And I think in some ways it's very sad, not that it would not be sad if these were young kids, but to think this happened with people in their late 70s, early 80s, it's just unbelievable that this could have happened. And we cannot make an inference as to what happened yet because we don't know. You know, we know that one person is dead. We know that a family pet is dead. And we know that a gentleman stabbed himself. That's what we know. Those are the facts. And to make inferences beyond that at this point are wrong. And I don't think we should do that. But it's unbelievable because the investigators do a very good job. As this case comes to light, we're going to find a lot more out about what went on Monday night and probably what had been going on. And it's just horrible. And you know, again, it highlights police officers because for a police officer or a group of police officers to walk in and have to see this, as Jay McDonald here says, I mean, it's awful. It's just awful. And it's awful to think that this could have happened right here in Marion over on Cummins Avenue. But that's the latest update. I wanted to give you that update and also let you know that Jay McDonald will be on with us live, Marion Police Chief, from 9:10 to 10 a.m. this morning. We'll talk about this and other things going on in Marion. So I know a lot of people like when we have people from the police department and sheriff's office on to inform you, and we certainly will try to do that this morning to the best of our ability. Now, another thing that this highlights, and it's a topic that has come up on this show many times. You know, why don't stations, why don't newspapers do good news? We want good news. Well, this is certainly not good news. This story is not good news. But would you want to know about it? I think you would as a public. So that's why stories like this get published. And they should, in my opinion. They're news. It's not a happy story. It's not a flowery story. It's not a positive story. But it is news. And this story is always going to be more read, more listened to, and have more questions than a positive story. I don't know if that says something about us as a consumer society in our news, but it's just the truth. So this is a story that, and we could use 100 stories that are similar to this to highlight the fact that news is not always pleasant. And that's why when you hear that from time to time, why isn't the news pleasant? Why don't we do more positive stories? Well, because unfortunately things like this happen and people do want to know what happened. And that's why we do these stories. Now, that's not to say we can't cover positive stories. I certainly think that's very appropriate. But sometimes you just have to cover things that aren't so pleasant. So that's that. Does anybody have anything to say about this as this story develops? Give me a buzz, because we've been doing trivia the last 2 days. And again, we thank Angie over at Chasing Perfection for donating the cookies that she did. And we really appreciate it. We didn't even have to call Angie and ask for anything. She just did that. So we appreciate that quite a bit. And that was a lot of fun yesterday. And again, our winner yesterday was Lee Dominey. Got the cookies from Chasing Perfection. Boy, I'll tell you, that was a tough contest. Angie from Chasing Perfection last night told me she was listening. And she thought the questions were hard. They were hard questions. But, you know, I think, again, and I'm not sure what this says, and I'm not saying they were easy questions at all, but when you can't Google an answer, questions become harder. I wonder in the course of a given day how, even unknowingly, we just go to the Google. We don't even think about it anymore. We don't even try to answer the question to see if we know it. We just Google it, and there's our answer. And I think that was a little bit of what was happening yesterday, but some of them were just generally hard questions. But it took us right up to the top of the hour, and it was a fun contest, and I hope you enjoyed it. So if anybody has any comments on this case here in Marion, which is still developing, that happened over on Cummins Avenue, or if you have anything to say about the contest yesterday, give us a call. We certainly would be glad to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We would be glad to hear from you. It's always good to hear from you, the listening audience. And I do want to do our plugs here very quick. Glenn Coble will join me this morning at 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then Glenn will be on with a Progressive Life today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. Then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman from 4:10 until 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. So don't miss any of those programs today here on WWGH Radio, 740-383-9944. Now, another thing we have not talked a whole lot about this week is the Judge Warner case is certainly in full bloom here in Marion. And I guess two charges were dropped yesterday against the judge and I believe his wife. You know, we've been... How long have we been speculating about this? When did this happen? Memorial Day of last year, Memorial Day 2020. And, you know, all the speculation now is going away. And we're actually getting to the trial. And we're finding out what happened. And we're finding out what the charges will be. And we're finding out where we're going to go with this. And to be honest with you, that's what needs to happen. That's how we do things here in America. And I think it's going differently than a lot of people might have thought it would have gone. Maybe not. Maybe people think it's going exactly as it should. But I do notice, again, when it comes to people making comments on the story, the comments are seemingly very varied. Some positive, some negative. And this is one of the problems when something happens and then a trial date is set and time passes between the two, people start making inferences about what might have happened or what they think would have happened. And sometimes it's not accurate, but you hear it so often, you start to believe it's true. Well, the judge and his wife now are having their day in court, and that's probably as it should be. So, again, if you have any comments on that, because now that's a developing story. It's no longer so much conjecture as it was from May of last year right up to the start of the trial on Monday. It's more of a story that is current. Now, there was one other thing. I was looking at the newspaper this morning, And, you know, there was a lot of talk last week about the city auditor and the mayor and the city council and this $1.28 million. Well, apparently, there is a story this morning in the Marion Star that the $1.28 million mistakenly paid to the state will be returned. That is what the headline says. So that's a good thing. Now, I think everybody, though, expected that to happen. I know the mayor, when he was on with us a week ago today, I believe he said he expected that to happen. I think the auditor had expected that to happen. I don't think anybody ever thought that the state wasn't going to return the money. I don't think that, and I think people got caught up in that. That was not what this story was about. What the story was about was, why was nobody alerted? How long did the auditor's office know that this was going on before they alerted anybody? And did the auditor have authority to pay the IRS before the money had been recovered from the state? I think those are the questions that we all wanted answered. That was what this story boiled down to. But as the Marion Star says this morning, and we certainly give them credit for it, the headline that went up at 5:06 a.m. this morning, March the 10th, was that $1.28 million mistakenly paid to the state will be returned. So that's going to be a positive in anybody's world. All right. If anybody has anything to say to that, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, those are a lot of big topics now on the table. We've got the incident on Cummins Avenue. We have got the Judge Warner trial, which is in full swing here in Marion. And we now know that the $1.28 million that was mistakenly paid to the state will be returned to the city. So, there is all that news. Now, those are three big stories that we have spent a lot of time talking about here on this station. So, grab a phone line, call in, tell us what you think on any of those, and we'll be glad to hear it. 30 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear your opinion or your thoughts. Sometimes it's just thoughts. It's not so much an opinion. And again, Marion Police Chief Jay McDonald coming up next hour to discuss this whole incident on Cummins Avenue and other things going on around about town. I don't believe we've had a chance to speak with the new chief since he became chief. I believe it was it last year or early this year? It's been fairly recently. So it'll be good to speak with Chief McDonald. All right. That's where we are on that. Oh, gotta tell you, it's Wednesday morning, and as people know, every Wednesday morning for some time now, I've been lucky enough to receive a breakfast here every morning. Now, this morning, I got a breakfast that I had never gotten in the history, I think, of these breakfasts, and it's a breakfast I love, to be honest with you. What it is, it's cut-up strawberries. I love strawberries. Strawberries is one of my favorite fruits, are one of my favorite fruits. Now, is it is or are? Because if I'm talking, there are more than one strawberry in the refrigerator in there, which, by the way, is clean now. That's a nice thing. Is it is or are? I don't know. But in any event, I'm going to say are. Strawberries are one of my favorite fruits. So it's cut up strawberries and whipped cream, which whipped cream is also something that I really enjoy. You know, whipped cream is a funny thing. I use whipped cream, you know, the Cool Whip type of whipped cream. I don't always buy the Cool Whip brand, but I love the Cool Whip whipped cream because there is very little sugar in it. Matter of fact, I don't think they put any sugar in it, and there is really no carbohydrate in it, and there is really no starch in it. So it's an interesting compound because it has a sweet taste, but yet there's not sugar, there's not carbohydrate, there's not starch in it. So you can add that sweet concoction that is the whipped cream to a lot of things, and it's very, very good. And I've always thought that strawberries and whipped cream are a great breakfast. It's also a great snack if you're a diabetic, because strawberries are one of those fruits that don't have a whole lot of sugar in them. Bananas obviously have a lot of sugar, and there are a lot of other fruits that have natural sugars in them, but strawberries are good. Strawberries are one of those. Blueberries, I believe, also are one of those fruits that doesn't have a whole lot of sugar in it, so it's pretty healthy for you. Matter of fact, at one point, and I don't know if this is still true or not, but blueberries were considered to be the healthiest food you could eat, because they had antioxidants in them that kind of cleaned up things in your body. I guess all the oxidants, because blueberries had antioxidants. So I thought I'd ask this morning, just a nice easy question here. What do you eat for breakfast? Because, you know, we did cereal trivia this week, and we did cookie trivia, and I know a lot of people eat cookies for breakfast. And on several Wednesday mornings here, I've told you about the breakfast that I have gotten, and I will enjoy the strawberries and whipped cream this morning. But what do you have for breakfast? Do you have anything odd that you've created yourself? Which, odd is not a bad term. It's a nice term, I think. Do you grab something quick in the morning? Do you go through a fast food place in the morning? Do you go out to a restaurant every morning? Do you take time at home and cook something up on the stove every morning? I don't know. What do you do? What do you do for breakfast every morning? There's a question for you, 34 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I know a lot of people have health concerns, and as time goes on, sometimes you have to get a little more creative with your breakfast because of those health concerns. So that's something to think about as time goes on. But again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Although I don't have any health concerns at this particular point that I'm aware of, I'm not diabetic, and I don't take any medication that I'm aware of. Maybe I unknowingly take medication. I don't know. No, there's no medication that I take for anything at this point, which I'm lucky to say. I know there are a lot of people in my age bracket that do and have to. And that, you know, that's a whole thing in and of itself, is that if somebody prescribes you something, you've got to take your medication. I know so many people who do not take their medication, and I'm not really sure why that is. I don't know. That's always beyond me, why people do not take their medication. But that's out of my realm, I guess. I guess nobody in our audience eats breakfast. Or maybe the phones aren't working. Maybe I should check the phones here this morning. No, the phones are working, so I feel confident there. 740-383-9944. Maybe it's just a quiet morning. 740-383-9944. Do you have anything to say about anything we've talked about this morning? The contest yesterday for the cookies, the whole incident, the trial that's going on with Judge Warner right now, the incident that happened Monday on Cummins Avenue, the money being returned by the state to the auditor's office here in town. A lot of stuff. What are you eating for breakfast? A lot of nice, easy questions. You know, when I think about food, I think about the lady who used to call in all the time, who said she was a gourmet cook, and I keep referring to her in that way because I never got her name. I don't know what her name was. But she would call in a lot of times and talk about being a gourmet cook, and we have not heard from her in probably getting close to a month, and we used to hear from her quite a bit, and I don't know what happened to her. Maybe she changed the dial. I don't know. I worry about what happened to her, because she was very consistent here every morning and called in quite a bit, and it was always fun to talk with her, but I have no idea what became of her. Hope she's still out there somewhere. You know, a lot of things could have happened. Maybe she got a little bit under the weather. It certainly is that time of year. Maybe she's having some issues with her phone. Heavens knows we all have phone issues from time to time. I don't know. You know what somebody asked me the other day? And I, you know, this is a valid question. Somebody asked me, because we have our friend, the bus driver out there, Sarah, who's out driving around Marion. They said, we never heard from Sarah during the cookie giveaway. She did not call in and answer any of the trivia questions. And, you know, Monday, I thought about that. I thought, you know, we did not hear from her. I don't know. Maybe she was busy that morning. Maybe there was a run on buses on Monday morning here in Marion, but we did not hear from her on Monday morning. And I don't know what happened. But I'm sorry she did not get in on the contest, because it was a fun contest. But somebody did ask me. So if you are a regular caller to this program, a lot of times... Oh, here we go. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Maybe there was a what?
I don't know. Maybe there was like a bus pile up on Monday morning, and you know, you were so busy you couldn't call in for the contest.
No. I had a vacation day, and I like spring cleaning. So that is no epic climactic ending. I just had some dust bunnies to chase around, and not that I couldn't have put the radio on while I did that, but I was just preoccupied with my work. That's all. Nothing exciting ever goes on in my life.
I'm the
boring person you've ever met.
Now, did you hear the second part of the cookie contest yesterday?
I did. I rather enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fun, but somebody did ask me. They said, hey, she didn't even try to answer a question.
Well, sometimes I feel like I call in too much. Like, I don't... there's plenty of times where I think, oh, I know this answer, or I'd like to ask that question, or, hey, I could give my 2 cents worth on that. But I don't... You don't want to be a radio hog, do you?
Well, you know what? Regulars are good, because I think what happens... I run into people in public all the time who say they listen, who... there are two common answers for why they don't call in. Number one, it's on in their office, and they can't call in because they're working.
Yeah.
So you've got that group. And then the other group is, we're just nervous about calling in, and some people are.
That's the group I get, because I'll be bouncing around in the bus, and I'll have you on, and especially everyone loves... you actually have several listeners now, and that's just thanks to me. They're like, they'll ask, what is this station? Who is this again? And I call them, and there's one gal, she gets on in the first run in the morning, and she'll say, turn this up. She wants to make sure she hears it. But a lot of times when you're doing the Family Feud, they'll blurt the answers out, the passengers, and I'll say, well, call them. Well, what's the number? And I'll say, well, and then I'll rattle the number. Some will call, and some will just, like, kind of shy away. I'm like, it's not like anyone can see you. You don't have to give your name. I mean, just play along. It's fun.
Yeah, and there is a lot of that, but I'll tell you, much like the cookie contest on Monday, and much like the Family Feud that we do here every Friday, you know who's listening when you do those, because usually, as of late, certainly the last 6 months, it's been wall-to-wall. Wall-to-wall calls. Now, some people do repeat call-in, there's no doubt about it, but you do hear those new names, like some of the people we called yesterday. I think they've called in before, but they certainly are not what I would call regulars.
Well, I don't think that it would have done me much good to participate, because much like the callers, I didn't know any of the names.
Now, would you have gotten the answer that Lee Dominey got right to win the cookies?
What was the final, like, the winning question?
Well, the final question, I decided to go local and go with this station, and I said, Charlie Evers worked for 4 stations while he was in Marion. Can you name 3 of them?
I could do 2.
You could do 2.
Yeah, so, no.
So you wouldn't have even won on that one.
No, I would have been a big fat loser.
Well, Lee, how's the grandmotherhood going?
Oh, great. Now, he's a preemie. He was born a month and a half early. I think I said that the other day. So, his mother and father, or you know, they're kind of not really wanting, I haven't got to hold him, and I'm fine with that. They're not really wanting a lot of people around him because obviously we're in the middle of a pandemic and the little guy didn't even quite weigh 5 pounds yet. He's just a little guy, but I'll get my hands on him sooner or later. Don't you worry.
You certainly will. Well, congratulations on that, and never fear calling in. We always like
to hear. I like his name. They named him Oliver, and I just love that name.
Oh, that is a good name.
As a Sarah, there was never less than 2 or 3 Sarahs in every class growing up, all through school. And so I guarantee he'll probably not have that problem because it's not really, I mean, it's an old-fashioned name, but I don't think it gets used that much these days. So
now,
I rather like that.
You know what it reminds me? Do you remember the JAG when kids were, or parents were naming their kids Isaac?
Not really.
There are a lot of Isaacs.
I don't disagree with things for the sake of the conversation. Sorry, I don't remember when that was.
No. I would say in the about 20 years ago, there was this JAG where there were Isaacs, and I would go to school functions, and there would be more than one Isaac in a classroom. And I thought, boy, this is a really old-fashioned name, but it kind of came into its own again about 20 years ago. And I think the same thing is true with Oliver. It is an old name, but
not really used very much.
No, but I don't think people would think it odd. I think people would just think that's a cool name, like Isaac turned into. But what do you think of the name Murphy?
Murphy for a girl or a boy?
I think you could go either way.
It's okay. Do you like that?
You know, I'm
having a kid or something?
Well, I don't know. I don't. Well, it's getting a little bit long in the tooth now, I think, for kids. I don't know.
Now, you just said not that long ago the door wasn't shut.
Oh, no, I don't think the door is shut. I just think at my age the door is creaking a little bit.
Creaking. It's slowly creaking.
It needs some WD-40 on it because it's starting to get closer. But you know why? It's because, and not that I'm not saying anything wrong for anybody who did this, but I would figure if I had a kid now, the biological way, I would be like 68, 69 years old at a high school graduation. And I loved my grandparents. I have a grandparent who's still alive. And, you know, I would never get to be that if I had a kid this late in life.
Well, it's just that, trust me, I'm no one to give advice on anything, really. But it's just a personal, that's probably the most personal choice that someone would ever make in their whole life. To have kids, to not have kids, when to have them, you know. So everyone has to do what's right for them.
Well, you know, in this particular case with myself, it's not about my age, because I feel fine and I feel I would be up to the task. It's just, it really does come back to my grandparents. I did not have a grandparent die. None of my biological grandparents died until I was in my mid-20s. And
Let me just jump in and say grandparents are awesome.
Yes.
Oliver, he's named after my grandmother, and Olive, and she was just classy, and I loved her so much. And some of my friends never, my best friend, she didn't have grandparents. And I feel so sorry for people with no grandparents or that never got to know them.
Now, see, and if I had a kid, that would be the case.
Yeah.
Now, see, well, but you're a young grandparent, so you will get to be in this kid's life for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I mean, you just think of all the fun stuff that's to come.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on that. We're sorry you didn't get in on the cookie contest, but I get the feeling...
I'm not, because I don't think I would have won anything.
No, you. Well, I tell you what. There's more contests to come. We were talking this over the other day with some people here at the station, and I think they're going to go out and see what they can find, and there may be more contests to come. And I think doing it that way is more fun than just answering a question.
Well, I'm getting ready to go grab breakfast. You want to know what I'm about to have?
What are you going to have?
Well, I have every day of my life, Scott. 2 sausage burritos with hot sauce and a large sweet tea. I'd never change it.
So you slide through McDonald's, too?
Pretty much every day, yeah.
Now, which location do you go to?
Southside.
Oh, the south one. Now, is that... Because, you know, on the east location, I have problems from time to time.
Really? Nope. My people are holding it down over here on the south side.
All right. Maybe I'll have to drive over there sometime.
Okay, well, have a good show, Scott.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, good to know Sarah is still out there listening, our person who's keeping down the roads here in Marion, holding down the roads as a bus driver. 740-383-9944, 47 and a half minutes past the hour. Anything you'd like to talk about, we can talk about here on the program. These are your airwaves. That's always been the case, always will be the case, as long as we are on the air here in Marion. 740-383-9944. You know, this whole child thing, it really does come back to that with me, because I never had any kids that I'm aware of. This has come up before on this program. It's not like it's any secret. And I keep feeling that the older I get, the older I'm going to be at a high school graduation. Now, for a long time, I thought that had more to do with me. I thought in my own mind, I'm thinking, oh no, I'm going to be an old parent. But I think I eventually came to realize that it's not so much about me being an old parent. What it's about is clearly I would not be making it to grandparenthood. Because if you would figure, just figure on the practicality of life, if I had a kid now, I would be 68, 69 when that kid graduated high school. So let's say that that kid had a kid when they were 20. So we're talking, no wait, that's not right. I'd be 58, 59. See, I certainly wouldn't be teaching the kid math. I'd be 58, 59 when the kid was graduating high school. Well, hey, maybe I would do it. Those are much better odds. I'd be 58, 59. And then, if they had a kid when they were 20, let's say, I would be 60, 61 years old when this kid was born. So you give, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years before the kid even remembers anything. I'd almost be 70 by the time this grandchild was able to remember me. And you know, I don't know if I'm going to have high energy at 70 years old, if I'm going to be running around. So I don't know. You know, I guess theoretically, because I have a grandparent still alive who's obviously well into his 80s, and it is a male grandparent, so that's my bloodline, and it is my biological bloodline. Hey, you know what? I guess if he has lived that long and is still alive, if I would live that long, I guess I could be around for grandparents. But as I was telling somebody the other day, I don't remember if it was on the air or not. What I say on the air and what I don't. So if I repeat myself, it's just because I don't have anything written down and I don't remember. But, I was saying that I think we did this on the pastor's show. My grandparents were a major part of my life because they were not that old when I was born. Because my mother was my grandparents' oldest child, and I was my parents' oldest child. Matter of fact, my father was his parents' oldest child. So, in my particular case, my parents were both the oldest child of their families. And then I was the oldest child of those two. So my grandparents were not elderly when I was born. So I got to know them all very well. You know, one died when I was in my 20s. The other two died when I was in my late 30s. And I still have one alive today. So that's how that all worked out for me. But clearly, I did not have kids young. So I don't know. It would be something I would have to think about. But now that I think about it, I guess I could live. I guess I could be a grandparent. Maybe. I'd be an older grandparent. But you know what? People are living longer. People are living longer. What do you think? 740-383-9944. Do we have any grandparents out there or great-grandparents? Oh, the story I was going to tell, the reason I was saying that, now I know where I was going, was that when I was young, my grandparents were fairly young. So they would babysit, and they would take me to the park and pick acorns, and they would take me shopping with them, and they would take me on vacations and all this stuff. But when the great-grandkids started to come about, because obviously they had other grandkids than me, when the great-grandkids started to come about, you know, they were older. And they were not so much interested in doing that stuff anymore. I don't think they took the great-grandkids over to pick acorns. And I don't think that they, you know, were taking the great-grandkids shopping with them. I think it was just... And they were not babysitting so much at that point because they were older. And a matter of fact, I know the grandparent who's still alive today would not be doing any of that. You know, and they're a great-grandparent. A matter of fact, they're probably on the verge of becoming a great-great-grandparent. But, you know, they're not going to be going to the park picking acorns at this point. But that's my memory of them. So, you know, age does play a factor, oddly enough. 740-383-9944. Anything to say about anything we've talked about this morning? Boy, we've been all over the place this morning. What did you think of the contest that we did over the last couple days? Once we get some more giveaways, we'll do that again. I know some people here at the station are working on that, so we'll have some more fun with that. And then the Judge Warner trial going on. The more information we have on this Cummins Avenue incident, horrible, horribly sad incident. And don't forget, next hour, we've got Marion Police Chief Jay McDonald on with us for the hour. And we're going to talk, obviously, about the Cummins Avenue incident and other things going on here in Marion, kind of get a roundabout view of what's been going on since he became chief. And then, I guess as we understand it, according to the Marion Star this morning, the $1.28 million will be returned from the state. But we all thought that would happen. But again, it comes back to, did the auditor or whoever paid the IRS have the authority to do that? That's really what that story is all about. Or if you want to talk about your grandparents. Or if you want to talk about anything else we haven't talked about. Also a big week, you know, 1 year anniversary of COVID. The first COVID case in Ohio was yesterday, I believe. 1 year anniversary. What do you make of this 1 year? Gee whiz. I'm trying to remember the number, and I saw it yesterday. Was it 170,000 Ohioans dead in a year from this? 170,000? I don't know. Oh, and I saw more on this whole Dr. Seuss thing. And I'll tell you, it'd be interesting on Friday, and I don't know if we can make this happen, but it would be interesting if we could get the two girls in here on Friday, because they both deal in the education field, and we've never been able to have a conversation about the whole Dr. Seuss thing. And that's becoming it's not so much about Dr. Seuss anymore. It's more about the changing society, because now, if you haven't heard the new ripple in this story, eBay has banned the selling of Dr. Seuss. The Dr. Seuss books that are considered to have things in them that are not appropriate. Now, again, this is not being done by any political party. This is not being done by any group. Nobody's in the street protesting Dr. Seuss. It's the family. The family pulled the books because they didn't want his memory to be tied up with these books that they felt represented people inappropriately. And they're taking a lot of heat over that. And but now eBay has pulled the books. So it's becoming a much bigger story. And I would like to get people in the education field and people who've had kids, their belief in this, because what we're spending so much time—it's a strange thing, because it's adults who seem to be angry about this. Well, how many adults are sitting around reading Dr. Seuss? Not a whole lot, unless you're reading them to your kids and your grandkids. But it's become a focal point here, and we've got to remember that it's the family that decided this. It's not an outside group. So this is not cancel culture. This is not any of that. It's just the family has made a decision. And but I don't know what people's feeling is on this. You know, would people read those books to their kids? I know the answer is probably yes, but is that okay? Now eBay says it's not okay. I think because a lot of people are buying the books at a high cost on eBay. Maybe that's why they banned them. I don't know. It's an odd story. But it seems like more adults are outraged than anybody else. And that's a little strange. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Police Chief Jay McDonald, next hour. Don't miss that. Glenn Coble today with me from 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon. Progressive Life from 12:10 to 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 until 7 p.m. on the station today. Those are programs you will not want to miss for love nor money. 58 and a half minutes past the hour on this Wednesday morning, March the 10th, 2021. I got to tell you, I've been into this Marian Star Archive, and I've been printing off stuff like crazy. And tomorrow or the next day, whenever we get some time, I'm going to give you a little history. Some stuff I had no idea about and only learned by reading certain articles in the Marian Star from many, many years ago, 80, 90 years ago. So we're going to get into some of this as the week goes on, because I think history is important, especially our history. And just some of this stuff was fascinating. I came up, fascinating to me, hopefully it'll be fascinating to you. And by the way, I almost broke my printer at home trying to print these things off yesterday. Oh, goodness gracious. I have one of those old laser printers that heats up and prints everything off, and it started making a funny noise, and I had to pull the ink out and buy new paper. It was a mess, but I think it's working properly now. As I left it last night, it seemed to be working okay, so we're all in good shape now. Police Chief Jay McDonald coming up at about a quarter after 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in, what kind of damage could he do? He's got to deal with Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. From somebody who's been there and dealing with foreign countries, if he's in there, what could there be a bad future?
I'm concerned about that if he gets elected, it is a